And you can look back at the first industrial revolution. All of a sudden, we had the ability to mechanize and create assembly lines and manufacture things like we never could before. And that allowed us to just leapfrog over the course of decades, by the way. This wasn't a quick revolution. It took a long time, the first one, even the second and third one, spanned a long amount of time. But that first revolution in particular allowed us to leapfrog into so many new advancements that empowered new medicines, new scientific discoveries, certainly new ways to work. And at the same time, it did eliminate jobs that people had depended on for their livelihoods at that time, but were simply no longer necessary.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. Okay, navigators, I am super excited and also super proud to be bringing you our very first interview on the AI Marketing Navigator today. Already ironing out some wrinkles. We're figuring out the tools, and you guys know me. I'm learning on the fly here, so we're gonna jump into our second recording now. You guys have to remember to hit the record button when you record podcasts. Just a tip for you guys out there. We're going to jump in our second attempt at this interview now. And I do have some more interviews lined up. So I hope and I'm really excited about bringing more of these type of episodes to you guys in the future and for you to hear and see more episodes like this. Okay, so today we are going to be talking with Mike Alton. Mike is an AI consultant at The Social Media Hat and the host of the AI and Marketing Unpackaged podcast. Mike brings over a decade of digital marketing experience to our conversation and is the chief storyteller at AgoraPulse, where he helps businesses navigate the AI revolution with practical, hands-on strategies. Mike is also an award-winning blogger, international keynote speaker, and the co-author of The Ultimate Guide to Social Media Marketing. When he's not consulting or creating content, he's hosting 5 active podcasts. You heard that right. 5 active podcasts where he's sharing his insights on AI implementation and helping marketers understand how to thrive in this rapidly evolving landscape. So today we get to unpack Mike's unique perspectives on AI and marketing to discuss why he believes that displacement of marketing jobs might actually be a good thing and to explore his general practical approach to AI implementation in organizations and marketing teams that goes way beyond traditional prompt frameworks. Mike, thank you for being here today. Thanks for dealing with our technical issues right off the bat, and welcome to the show.
My pleasure. It's great to be here. And I got to tell you, if the worst thing that you ever do is forget to hit record once in a while on a podcast, you're way ahead. Because like you said, I've got 5 active podcasts now. I've had many, many live streams, webinars, virtual events, and podcasts, and horrible things happen when you're dealing with tech. So
I appreciate you saying that. Anyway, Mike, I was hoping maybe we could just start with a little bit of a background on your journey in marketing, how you got to AgoraPulse, and just the road that brought you here today. I always find it interesting to hear people's roads to marketing. As the navigators know, mine was not very traditional, started in computer science and somehow found myself in a marketing department. And so I'm just curious what that would look like for you.
And I do think it's interesting because it is just like you. I went to college for computer science. I went into website design. I moved to St. Louis, where I'm at now, from Northern Ohio. And I started building websites for local small businesses. They were super powerful Drupal-based sites. If you guys have ever heard of Drupal, it's obviously, I'm a masochist because it was really painful and challenging to use. But it was also extremely powerful and more extensible than the CMS options at the time. But the big disappointment for me at that time was that I was giving these clients super powerful sites that they could blog to and do all kinds of wonderful things, and they never used them. They really were only looking for 5-page brochure sites. But in the process, I was creating my own content about social media marketing, email, digital marketing, and so on to help them to attract other clients. And I discovered that even though they didn't use the sites and they obviously weren't using my content, I really enjoyed writing that content. I was getting a lot of traction in other channels with that content. So I spun it off, launched the Social Media Hat in 2011 as a blog, and really no other aspirations initially. I just wanted a place to be able to write about social media marketing and other things that I was interested in. And then over time, added consulting, added courses, added books and ebooks and other kinds of revenue generating opportunities. But it was never with the idea that I was going to do a certain thing with that project, which meant it often was a side hustle for me. I was a full-time CMO for a number of years in the mid-2010s. Then I joined AgoraPulse around 2017, 2018 is when I officially started to manage their influencer program, and then eventually all brand partnerships and events and customer relations and so on. So I've had an expanding role there, but I've always had that full-time gig alongside a part-time one, a side hustle, where I've used that as a platform to explore different aspects of online marketing that were very timely and germane to the moment. So an example was 10 years ago, I was teaching people how to use Google Plus. Some of you probably haven't heard of Google Plus, but that was one of the biggest social networks 10 years ago. Obviously, it was spawned by Google. They had 500 million users when they shut it down in, 2015, 2016. They weren't able to monetize it and turn it into an actual good business area, but it was a great social network for those of us who were there and using it. Fast forward a few years to the pandemic. I'd had a lot of experience pre-pandemic running virtual events. So in 2020, when all in-person events shut down, I started helping businesses and organizations go online with their virtual events. Again, this is just a side hustle then to AgoraPulse, where I was continuing to work full time. So fast forward to late 2023. I was not heavily into AI yet. I'd explored some tools. I'd used Esper, which was previously Conversion, which was before that Jarvis. They had to change their name. Now they're Jasper. I'd used a couple other tools and was never really thrilled with the results that I was getting. But then, of course, ChatGPT came out and changed everything. And late in 2023, I was listening to Paul Raitzer from the Marketing AI Institute, and he was talking about the need for marketers to understand how AI is impacting their roles and how much they needed to begin to adapt and adopt AI in order to sustain their roles in the future. And he phrased it much better than I just did, because it really stuck with me. I mean, it really like impacted me. I had to stop what I was doing and think hard, not only about what he just said, but how that was going to impact me personally, the work that I was doing over a year ago, how AI might supplant or replace or maybe just augment what I was doing. But I was also concerned for my friends. I've spent the last 10 plus years in this digital marketing space building really, really strong relationships and friendships with so many digital marketers and colleagues around the world. And I knew many of them were not paying any attention to AI, and they were not thinking about how they needed to change the way they were going about doing their day-to-day professional jobs and have AI come alongside and support them. Because what Paul said, and it's been reset a couple of different ways, is that in the future, it's not that you're necessarily going to be replaced by AI. It's that you're going to be replaced with a marketer who knows AI. Yep. If you don't, you're going to be left behind. So in the spring of 2024, that really gelled into me, this mission was to go out and help marketers and by extension, small businesses understand AI and implement it. I launched the podcast AI Marketing Unpacked, as you mentioned, in May. I've now interviewed over 60 experts in artificial intelligence, both in marketing and just enterprise and small business, mid-market, all over the place, right? Having incredible conversations about how AI is truly revolutionizing our society. And I'm going to stop in a moment, but I want to stress the word revolutionizing. I don't say that as hype. I say that as an historian who looks back at the three previous industrial revolutions we've had as a society, and I can recognize that we are currently in the fourth industrial revolution. There is an absolute change happening in every aspect of our society as a result of the advent of AI, and we need to be ready for it.
I could not agree more as far as this revolution that we're a part of. And we talk about it every day on my show, how this is more than just the internet in the 1990s, which was already such an incredible technological revolution. But I see this penetrating so much deeper into society, and especially in a long-term frame, in a long-term mindset. But I want to dive a little bit deeper into that. Can you walk us through your perspective a little bit more on how this kind of connects to previous industrial revolutions? And on that note, you've kind of had an interesting take in the past about marketers losing their jobs being a good thing. And we mentioned that in the intro. And so maybe you could tie that into how this revolution is going to be a good thing for marketers.
Yeah. So in the past, these industrial revolutions are when there's been a massive leap forward in technology. And as a result of that massive leap forward in technology, changes happened in specific industries, and those rippled into other aspects of society, education, government, healthcare. And you can look back at the first industrial revolution. All of a sudden, we had the ability to mechanize and create assembly lines and manufacture things like we never could before. And that allowed us to just leapfrog over the course of decades, by the way. This wasn't a quick revolution. It took a long time, the first one, even the second and third one, spanned a long amount of time. But that first revolution in particular allowed us to leapfrog into so many new advancements that empowered new medicines, new scientific discoveries, certainly new ways to work. And at the same time, it did eliminate jobs that people had depended on for their livelihoods at that time, but were simply no longer necessary. One of the examples I love to talk about, because it holds a lot of personal meaning to me. I grew up in Northern Ohio, very near to where Thomas Edison grew up. So I'm very familiar with Thomas Edison and his story. So the invention of the light bulb is near and dear to me. Well, when we invented electricity and the light bulb and that sort of thing, we were able to replace street lamps with light bulb lamps. And the street lamps previously were gas lit lamps. They'd have pipes that would go up these poles, and men would have to walk up and down the city streets at dusk and literally light on fire the gas lamps. Those roles were no longer needed when we replaced them all with electric light bulbs. And while that was a shame for those individuals, it's hard to argue today that we're not better off having electric street lamps everywhere and everywhere else that we're able to bring electricity and light bulbs. So that's one of the reasons why we want to look at an industrial revolution and the impact that it has on jobs as a net gain for society. Yes, individuals may be negatively impacted, and we would want to do as a society everything we can to pivot those individuals into new roles, upskill them, train them, whatever we need to do to make sure that we're taking care of those individuals. But in the end, we don't want to keep those jobs for the sake of the job. And that's not new. That's been an ongoing problem. We don't want to get into politics, but if you look at unions and that sort of thing, a lot of the arguments that they've made over the past 50 years has been to keep jobs simply for the sake of the job and not looking into the eye of how are we advancing technologically, how are we advancing as a society. But here's the other really interesting thing. If we start to eliminate jobs, that actually solves some of the other underlying problems we have as a society, one of which is the fact that here at least in the United States, we have an incredibly large aging population. And people who study such things understand that in a couple decades, actually, I'm sorry, in a decade or less, we will be faced with an issue where there are no longer enough workers to fill all the roles that we have as a society, because the generation that's about to retire will now have retired, and that will have left the workforce, and we're having fewer children as a society. Japan went through this. Mm-hmm. Japan went through this a couple decades ago, and they were able to advance their society technologically to the point where they didn't need as many workers. They didn't need as many jobs to be filled. And so they addressed that. We have not talked about this here in the United States, and we have not addressed it. So AI may actually solve that problem for us. If we reduce the total number of jobs that we need as a society to keep on pace with the number of people who are retiring and leaving the workforce, who aren't being replaced by new workers, you know, children who are graduating out of college and so on, that will resolve that issue. And the final issue that we have as a society is simply one where we're just working nonstop. Mm-hmm. I mean, those of you listening to me right now, think about the last time you took a day to just sit and think about what you could be accomplishing in your role, in your life, maybe next month, maybe next quarter, maybe the next 5 or 10 years. Most of us simply don't have that kind of time. Most of us are punching in, we're running the rat race, getting as much done as we can in a day, and we're punching out at the end of the day. We go home, or maybe go downstairs if you work from home like me. You make dinner, you play with the kids for an hour or two, you go to bed, and then you wake up the next day to do the same thing. One of the really beautiful things about AI is, as we all know, it streamlines a lot of things. It brings us to be a lot more productive than we ever were before. So it's saving us time. And one of the big questions a lot of us are asking today is, well, if it's saving me so much time, what am I going to do with that time? The easy answer for Americans is, well, I'll just work more. I will just produce more with the extra time that I have each week. Well, what if we didn't? What if instead of continuing to work 40, 50, 60 hours every week, what if we only worked 30 to 35 hours a week? What if we spent that extra time either just being, living, having relationships and friendships and being with our children, our families? Or what if we devoted that extra time to thinking strategically or creatively about what else we might do? I mean, one of the real core issues is we don't know what we would do with that much extra time because we've never had the time to think about what we would do with that much extra time. That's a bit of the paradox there. So that's why I'm actually quite excited and relieved to the idea that AI will come in through, you know, impacting all these different industries that we're working in, allowing us to create new tools, new systems, new processes that will take up a lot of the manual tasks that we're already doing and simply free us to not have to work so much.
Absolutely. And I know so much of what you said resonates with me, and I know resonates with the audience. And as you said, we're not looking to get into politics. And I often say on the AI Marketing Navigator that we're getting into some philosophical questions about AI that we don't want to dive into, but this is the truly fascinating stuff. I mean, I'm often so hyped on AI, and I'm such an AI optimist that I, you know, within my family and friends, I'm talking about this fascinating future. And you speak about, you know, the displacement, and of course that's one of the primary concerns. And you know, the examples of the Industrial Revolutions are my usual response to that too. You know, it's like there's going to be pain, there's going to be an adjustment pain, and we can't forget that in our excitement and in our, you know. I'm glad to hear you also discuss that as a society, we need to help with the displacement and the reskilling, and we can't just ignore it and say, well, it's just a side effect of the advancement. And maybe that means the AI future that we envision has to delay a little bit longer. And I think that's, you know, I think that's a cost of what it takes to take care of our workers and our people who are in fact going to be affected by this. So anyway, so much to unpack there that I know that we agree with on the AI Marketing Navigator. And so thank you so much for your insights there. I'm going to pause there for today. We're going to try and keep these daily recordings for you guys. And hopefully, Mike, if it's okay with you, we can bring you back tomorrow. We can dive right back into our discussion and we can pick up from here if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.